Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Morning. Am I on? Is it working yet? It's fantastic. I'm going to come here every week. I now know where... I know where to get my teeth done now. A cheap rate. And I know how to clean my kitchen. It's definitely worth it. It's amazing what you learn on a Sunday morning, isn't it, Linda? You're right. But I would come here every week. The joy of the Lord is in this house. You know, and I just, when I come in, I was just reminded of the family that you guys are. You guys are such family in this place. You love each other, you encourage each other, you build each other up, you give each other sound advice about lemons and teeth. And Jesus. Praise Jesus. He cares about those things. You know, he cares about family. He cares about us being together. He cares about us giving each other sound advice. And he makes every lemon grow. And gives its acidic property in order to clean the kitchen. That's right. So I'm going to go chuck all my cleaning stuff away and buy me some lemons. Today I've got the privilege of starting your series. Now, we're calling it Simply Jesus at Trinity. What are you calling it?
Simply Jesus.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Good name, that.
Who thought
of that one? That was me, that one. Humble. Because we want to spend the next few weeks and just looking at who Jesus is. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of God's nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The more we get to know Jesus, the more we get to know God. The more we get to kind of know him, what I'm really hoping is the more you fall in love with him. And the more you fall in love with him, what we really want is for you to think, oh, there's nothing more worthy than him. Actually, no, I will give my life to him. I will follow him. I will desire him. I will worship him. I will give him my everything. The aim of this series is to fall more deeply in love with Jesus. And it's also to set a real good foundation for next term. Because next term, we're going to move into a series on sexuality, which is a huge topic. It's a huge topic in the world, and it's a huge topic in the church, and it's a huge topic for the church and world kind of clashing on it. But we want to go into that series with this. Jesus is worthy of it all. Amen. Jesus is glorious. Jesus is good. Jesus is kind. If that's what Jesus says, I'll bow the knee to it. We want to be worshipping him and falling more and more in love with him. And today I get the fantastic privilege of talking about Jesus is God. And Clive's already mentioned it a number of times. I think the evangelist mentions it quite a lot anyway, because it's, again, another big topic out there. When you get into conversations, it's like, who is Jesus? Who is this? Who is that? I'm going to be preaching from John 8. So while I just introduce it, maybe turn your Bibles to John 8. Now, I'm not really into politics. Is anyone else into politics? No? But it's really fun at the moment. Have you watched any of the Question Time or anything at the moment? You know, they're arguing like nothing else. It's like two warring parties sat opposite each other, trying to be right honorary gentlemen, but talking each other down and slating each other and slagging each other off and saying, oh, you did that, oh, you did this. It's really quite fun, if you lighten the spirit of what he's talking about. John 8 is just like that. The Pharisees have brought in this woman at the beginning of John 8, and the whole aim of bringing the woman in was to catch Jesus out. This woman had been caught in adultery, and the law says that this woman should be stoned to death. That's what the Levitical law would say. And so they brought this woman in, knowing that Jesus was compassionate and merciful, but actually wanting to catch him out in his teaching. What did Jesus say? That's it. He who's without sin, let them cast their first stone. And guess what? They all disappeared. They all kind of walked away. They were like, oh, that didn't catch him out. But then the argument continues and you got Jesus saying, this is who I am. And them saying, you're a liar. You're the son of the devil. You're evil. You're a Samaritan even. You know, like it's just this huge argument. But then you expect Jesus to be all this meek and mild person, but actually he's coming back and saying, you're the son of the devil. You're this person, you know, you're that. And Jesus comes back just as fierce towards them. And you have this picture of two warring parties, which is really interesting because the Pharisees are meant to be the ones teaching us how to live rightly. And at the end of it, so John 8, 48. I'm going to read 48 to 59. This is Jesus at his most kind of loving. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it. And he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and yet you've seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The key phrase here to look at is verse 58, where Jesus replies, truly, truly, I say to them, before Abraham was, I am. You see, have you ever heard it when you've had conversations with people, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus never made that claim about him. It's just what you're saying about him. Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. He taught well. He was a really, you know, I like his teaching. I'll get on board with that. He's got good morals. But he never claimed to be God. The Jews here, the Pharisees here, did not doubt what he was claiming. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones. Why did they pick up stones to throw at him? Because of blasphemy. Because he was trying to claim that he was God. He was saying, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Abraham is the father of the Jewish faith, the one that they'd all look back to as the oldest kind of forefather. The Jews and the Pharisees would have known Abraham as the kind of founding father. And they're like, what, you know, like Abraham saw your day, but you're not even 50 years old. Jesus isn't just claiming here to be really old. He's not claiming to be just like this really old man he's not claiming to be this old man. He's claiming that he is God. Before Abraham was, I am. We did an Exodus series last term, and in Exodus 3:15, how does God reveal himself? Moses went to God and he said, listen, I'm going to go and talk to your people, but if I go, how am I going to make them believe that you're with me? Come on, you've got it. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. How will they know? What shall I show them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. and also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Jesus echoed this in this statement. Jesus echoes what God declared about himself, and he puts it on himself. And he says, I am. And John loves to play with this. John says this again and again. You know, he says it, I think, 7 times. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. And all the time, he's making this quote about himself, Jesus is. He's saying, I am. He's saying, I am God. I am. Now, just because we don't recognize it in this day and age doesn't mean that Jesus never said it. Does that make sense? So just because Jesus never stood there and said, I am God, the Jews of this time that Jesus was talking to understood completely that Jesus was saying, I am God. He's making that claim about him. I am God. One of the clearest things that it says in Scripture is John 1:1-4. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word means Jesus. It's referring to Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. Amen. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Jesus is God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a wise man. He's not just a good teacher. Jesus is God. That's a moment to pause and to worship and to enjoy. Jesus is God. Now, you as alpha nuts, so people who do alpha quite a lot, you'll know the argument C.S. Lewis uses. And C.S. Lewis says that either Jesus is a lunatic, he's a liar, or he is Lord. So he's either completely lying about who he says he is, he's either crazy because he thinks he's something he's not, or he is Lord of all things. So he's either crazy, and you all have to make your minds up. And I would advise you to get into your scripture, get into your gospels, get into your word. Who is he? You can't start reading the gospel without coming to this conclusion that Jesus said he was God. And if Jesus said he is God, either he's lying about it, which means he's not worthy of following, either he's crazy and he's just made something up in his head about himself and so he's not worth following, or he is God of all things and he's worthy of all our adoration and praise. Okay, I want you to take 1 minute to turn to the person next to you. You have to talk to each other, I'm really sorry. And just answer this question. All right, Jesus, if Jesus is God, why is it important? Go. Do you know the answer? You don't know the answer? So you're just going to sit there? Should probably talk to someone about it. Should probably ask someone. Some people already have the answer. They're very confident. Yeah, keep talking. Go on. All right, I'm going to draw it back in. All right, then I've got some willing volunteers. Someone put your hand up. Forgiveness of sins. So Jesus has to be God to forgive sins and bring the forgiveness of our sins. Is that right?
Christianity doesn't, you know what I mean?
isn't a thing. It's good. It's full of lunatics anyway. I'll keep my eyes on Clive. Amen. It's true. As in here in the well or on the earth or... Yeah. It's true. But don't bother with the passion of the Christ because it's... Come on. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's really good, Dan. Thank you. Anyone on this side? He helps to change our lives. It's really good. Because he is God. He gives us purpose and reason, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Come on. Anyone in the middle? That verse before says he holds all the world together by the power of his word, doesn't it?
And he always runs our doors regardless of our shortcomings.
He's, come on. He draws near to us regardless of our shortcomings. That's so good, isn't it? I don't really love this. This is like worship. Ah, I've got a hand there. Come on.
One more here.
Yeah, come on.
If you believe and trust in him, he will never leave you.
Come on. Come on. Isn't that beautiful?
Whereas Jesus isn't God, humanity has no hope to being saved.
Come on, yeah.
Have no hope for salvation.
We have no hope for salvation. We can't do it any other way. Come on. At the back, one last one, okay. I know everyone's getting excited now.
Jesus isn't God. It brings everything else in the Bible into question.
Uh-huh, yeah. If Jesus isn't God, it just questions everything else that we read and live on. Well, hopefully we get some answers. Isn't it good when you start thinking about this, the significance of Jesus being God and the answers that we have within us just create such security? And that's the end of my preach because you've done it for me, so it's all good. Okay, so I'm just going to go through what I kind of thought, and you've got most of them, in honesty. So I'm just going to say that Jesus being God reveals the very nature of who God is. It reveals who God is completely. Jesus being God. You see, if Jesus isn't God, then it changes the whole character of who God is. You see, as a Christian, we believe in the Trinity. We believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are God. One God, three persons. Jesus, being God, displays the Trinity and what the Trinity is. And if Jesus isn't God, it changes the very character of who God is. You see, other faiths teach there is one God. Say, Islam teaches Allah. There is one God. We teach there is one God in three persons. But there's a very different nature of the gods because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been in relationship with each other for all of eternity. Now, that changes the character of God because he doesn't create us for relationship out of a need and a lack. He's not lacking relationship. He's not this God who thinks, oh, I want relationship. I'm lacking relationship. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're in relationship together. His very character is relational. His very character is to be relational. And actually, he's not creating us to be his servants because he wants to have friends and things. He's creating us out of the overflow of the love that exists within him. There's this love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that just wells up. And it's an overwhelming, overflowing love that is within God. And that is his character. That is the God that we worship. The very nature of God. If Jesus isn't, if Jesus is just a created being, there was a moment in history when there was no relationship. that God was on his own. But if Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist, if the God of the Trinity exists, then there was never a time when relationship was not happening. And that speaks into our lives because God desires relationship with us. It says in Genesis 1:26 that he created, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. What does it mean? In our likeness, we're created as relational beings. We're created to be part of the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're created to be in relationship with each other and with God. It changes our very character because of the love and overflow of God. Ah, it's beautiful. God is so good. God is so good. But if you struggle with the Trinity, there's a book, if you're readers, I don't know if you like reading or not, but there's a book called The Good God by Michael Reeves. And it just talks about this. Because some people, I've listened to podcasts where people leave Christianity because they're like, the Trinity, I don't get it, nonsense. Whereas actually there's other people who come in and they go, oh, the Trinity, relationship, beauty. And I really want you to be in a place where you're like, oh, the Trinity is beauty. Yes, there is mystery. Yes, there is mystery, but there is real beauty. Because it opens up the character of God's love in a fresh, beautiful way. Amen. Jesus being God reveals how God would act in certain situations. So as you get to know God in the Gospels, you get to see Jesus, and he seemingly seems, and this might just be my reading, like really attracted to sinful people. He's got a conscience, hasn't he? That's the second time he's brought up his sin tonight. We can talk after Clive in private. Woo, it's fun, isn't it? It means we can look at God. We can look at Jesus. We can read about Jesus. And we can see how God would react in situations. We can see that God would draw close as we struggle. We would see that God would put out an arm to touch us when we feel too dirty to go near God. We would see that he is graceful and kind and loving and merciful. We would see that that is God. That is God's character. He is the exact, Jesus is the exact radiance of God. That is who God is. We see the revelation of who God is through Jesus Christ. The man Jesus. Whew. It's so easy to just think, oh, you know, I'm dirty, I'm a sinner. God wouldn't come near to me. Read the Gospels. Jesus hates the religious. He does. You can see it here, the argument he's having. He hates religion, but he loves it when you come to know him. When your heart is transformed by him, not that you're perfect, but that you know him in your heart and mind and soul, that your very being knows that God is loving for you and towards you. Jesus, being God, reveals exactly what God's character is like. Jesus, being God, means he can forgive sins. In Mark 2, there's this story where there's a paralytic man, and the paralytic man's friends have heard that Jesus is all-powerful and can heal and heal people, and they're like, I need to get my paralytic friend to that Jesus. If you have any friends who are paralytic, you need to get them to Jesus. That's the side point. But they can't get in, and they end up having to cut the roof to lower this person who's paralytic on a mat down to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to them? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven to this man. And the Pharisees, or scribes, it says in the scripture, are sat there. The people who know the law, they're like, whoa, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is there going, I can read your mind. I know what you're thinking. You're right. But what's better, for me to say I can forgive your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? And he turns around to the man who's not walked for I don't know how long, it doesn't say, stand up and walk. And he stands up, picks up his mat and walks. And it says that there's rejoicing that day. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus can forgive your sins because he is God. He is the pure, the unblemished Lamb of God. He doesn't just forgive sins, though. He brings freedom from sins. It says that sin no longer has authority over your life. Why? Because Christ is victor. Christ is victory over your sins. And it means sin has no hold on you when you come to know Jesus. You're not trapped there any longer. You're not just forgiven, you're set free. Because Jesus is God. The final thing, just to land on this. Jesus being God means it is right for us to worship him. Gemma, let me ask you a question. If I was come to you now and to bow down, start worshipping you, what would you do? Get up, you idiot. get up, you clown. What are you doing? And that's the right response, isn't it? And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas do in Acts when the guys are like, oh, they're doing miracles, and they come down and they're like worshipping Paul and Barnabas and that. Get up, you idiots. Don't worship me, I'm just a man. In Matthew 2, the wise men come from afar and they worship Jesus. In Matthew 14, the disciples who've just been saved from a storm get down on their knees and they worship Jesus. Matthew 28, the disciples meet the risen Jesus, resurrected Jesus. What do? They worship him. What does Jesus do? He accepts the worship. He accepts the worship. Jesus is here proclaiming, I am God and I am worthy of worship. If Jesus isn't God, I was reading through Revelation 4 and 5 this morning, you have a real problem because you're going to be worshiping him in all eternity. Jesus knew as well that only God was to be worshipped. When the devil was tempting him in Matthew 4, he says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The Ten Commandments say, worship God only. Jesus proclaims that he is God by allowing us to worship him, by allowing his disciples to worship him. And he is worthy of our worship. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the King of all kings. Jesus, the Lord of all lords. Jesus, the great Redeemer. Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Jesus, you are worthy of our adoration. Jesus, we worship you and praise you, and we just lift your name on high, King Jesus. You are God and worthy of our praise, Lord. You are worthy of it all, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We declare your goodness in this place, King Jesus. What a God we serve. A God with an outstretched arm. A God who would die in our place. A God who would take our punishment. A God who would be sacrificed for us. What a Lord and Savior we have. God, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. We lift your name on. Let me encourage you now just to stand. I just want to worship Jesus together because he is worthy of our praise and adoration. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Sure, man, na na na, ha ha, man, na na na, poor man, na 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 na.